Resolution 24-06. Moved by Counselor Zulak, seconded by Counselor Kekkonen. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby reconvened into regular open session of Council at 3:33 p.m. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 24-061, moved by Councilor Ryland, seconded by Councilor Haskam. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby accept the reports, recommendations, and directions arising from the closed session held January the 30th, 2024. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. And we'll take roll call once again for the open session.
Councilor Morley Haskam.
Councilor Nick Ryland.
Councilor Debbie Zulak.
Councilor Mike Kekkonen.
Clerk Administrator Ida Watkinson.
Deputy Clerk Carly Brayton.
Fire Chief Robert Morley.
And Mayor David Moore. Again, there are any declarations pecuniary under personal interest in the general nature thereof?
Yes, I declare the pecuniary interest under 5.4I. In closed session.
Okay, thank you. In the spirit of reconciliation and cooperation, we wish to acknowledge that the land in which we gather is the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and the Mississauga people. Its boundaries fall within the Robinson-Huron Treaty of 1850 and the Williams Treaty of 1923. We are grateful to live here, and we thank all the generations of people who have taken care of this land for thousands of years. Honor the suffering of Indigenous people and the love and wisdom they have carried for thousands of years. We pledge to work in community and harmony with each other and the environment we inhabit to work towards truth and reconciliation. So moving on the agenda down to 17.1, the Fire Department 2024-03 burn permits. And we have our Fire Chief, Rob Morrison, if you wish to speak to this item.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, for having me here today. So, in the last open session of council, I believe it was introduced, I introduced the subject of going to an electronic burn permit system with my submissions for your consideration. This burn permit system is created and maintained by a company called Fluid IMS, which currently provides our who's responding dispatch system that we use for the fire department, as well as we use it for our EOC as part of our emergency planning and preparedness. Okay. I have a short video that I believe the deputy clerk has queued up, which may answer a significant portion of the questions that I believe council had following their initial consideration of upgrading the system. Does anybody have any questions that you'd want to ask me now about it, or do you want to just wait until after the video and see if it takes care of most of it?
I would think the video first, perhaps, and then a little more detail about what changes would be coming if we accepted it.
Absolutely. So it's a 6-minute video.
Jar because it is open meeting, but
yeah, okay.
It might help with the talking. Yes.
Sorry,
just
one
that's okay. Don't take the time. Already.
Okay, so
Muir Fire Department burn permits.
If it's a video, I'll come sit beside you, so I don't have to.
So this is a video narrated by one of the employees of Thulin IMS. It just describes what the resident will see when they go through the process of applying for or acquiring a burn permit. There are some things that are slightly different from our perspective. This video will discuss the cost, and how to accept PayPal payments. We have no intention of charging for a burn permit. The two types of permits that you will see in this video are slightly different, our two options for permits will be entitled seasonal permit, which will be good. You only have to do it one time a year, and it will be good from April 1st till October 31st. Yeah. As well as the second option will be 24-hour degree fire, which is what people currently call in for on a regular basis when they have to, they'd like to burn some brush, burn some leaves, burn so forth, okay? Untreated, unpainted wood, stuff like that. Okay? So there are, there's minor differences. I can address all of them as they come up, and perhaps our deputy can pause the video at some times and then address the differences. Okay?
You might have to narrate this. I'm getting feedback just with...
What if we turned our mics off? Is that possible?
No, it has to do with sharing the screen, and then I need audio on this laptop, but I can't have it on that desktop.
Okay. I can play the video on my iPad and provide audio for the room. Does that help?
Sure. But then that won't go... If you can put it through the mic, too.
I can put it close to the mic, yeah.
And then we'll just play them at the same time. Same, we're just going to skip this part. Last, it's going to ask for the login details for their account for the burn permit system. So
it's going to ask, is this where you live? Now, as you can see, it's all green. So we've highlighted the boundaries in our township as to where you can burn. So if it's green, it means that it's not a restricted area. And then if it were outlined in red, for example, it would say that it's a restricted area. So your resident can just simply zoom in and say, yes, that is currently where I live. Or they can click and drag to the point where they're going to be actively burning. If that is the appropriate address, it's going to continue. Next, it's going to take them to the terms and conditions.
So with the highlighted areas, we can identify which areas of the township are acceptable to burn in, both seasonally and with the 24-hour debris permit. So there are, as per our bylaw, you need for a debris fire or an open-air burning permit, as it is currently, you need 10 meters of clearance between where you're putting the fire and any structure or any other combustible materials. So at current, we have various properties throughout the township which, on their own property, within the property lines, they don't have 10 meters worth of room. And I can think of a number of properties, especially in the older downtown core here. So that part of the map will be continuously red for residents applying for a 24-hour burn permit. So if somebody comes and tries to register for a debris permit in the old area of town here, they will not be able to. Okay? It sort of helps to enforce that bylaw without having to do it retroactively by responding to the call. It's proactive by not allowing it to even be obtained. Okay? Whereas the owners of Mid River Farms, who have the room, or any other property which has more than 10 meters in which they can provide clearance around building or combustibles, will be allowed to apply or obtain a burn permit, provided that the fire danger rates are acceptable. Okay? Now, this does not include, like I said, for a campfire permit, for your seasonal permit, which is cooking fires, campfires, we only need 1.5 meters, according to our bylaw, so for a 2-foot by 2-foot fire. So that will essentially be green throughout the entire township. We're not eliminating the ability for anybody to have a cooking fire or a campfire. Okay? So that was an important piece that we're going to I just wanted to make sure that we spelled out here.
Page, where it'll go through all the terms and conditions for that specific permit. They'll ask them to read the above and then select the I agree. Next is the I agree statement. So this is a list of the plain English version of your bylaw or specific highlights from your terms and conditions that you want to make sure that your residents really abide by. So it's going to make sure that they agree to each one after reading them. Make sure that everyone's on the same page and they are aware of the terms and conditions. After they select all of the I agree statements, they're going to select continue. This page here is totally optional. So this is if they're going to be uploading photos, say, of their fire pits or of their burn piles that they want to be submitting to you. That way you have more information to know what's going on in your township. The final step here is going to ask them to select the type of permit within the residential area. So, for example, here we have a test permit or a one-year residential permit that you paid $35 for. So, for the purpose here, we're just going to go through the $35 one just to show you what the pay system would look like. Next, they'll ask them for their signature that they just insert here. But we'll also tell them the start date and end date for their permit. Next, it's going to go through the notification methods. So this is where it's strongly recommended that your residents insert at least one way for you to notify them. It could be through text message, email, or phone call. Once they've inserted their information here, just select continue. And they'll say, almost done, just have to pay. So we are integrating completely with PayPal. And it doesn't mean necessarily that your residents have to pay or create a PayPal account. They can just pay with their credit card through PayPal using a guest account. However, if they want to use and create a PayPal account, they can certainly do that and select pay online now. Or if they'd rather pay in person with a check or with cash, they can just select pay later. And then they can come into the fire department or the town office to pay with cash there. it'll take them to their permits page, or it'll give them the view to download their approved permit. So as you can see here, we have our permit right here, and this is what every resident will get. So as you can see, we have all their information plugged in on top, and then we have all the terms and conditions that they agree to. Down here, we also have the signature of the applicant, and we also have the signature of the approver, whoever that may be. Also, because we didn't pay for our permit, it's going to watermark it and let you know on the administrative side that this permit is not yet paid, therefore they cannot call and activate their burns. So, each resident gets emailed a copy of this. Once they pay, for example, and they come into the town office or they paid online at a later date, then on the administrative side of things, you can change that pay status, regenerate the permit, and again, this will be emailed to them with this watermark disappearing. Thank you for watching the first training video.
Okay, so, again, there will be no cost for this process. It was never intended to have a cost associated with it. The budget for the township that we would be looking at, we would cost the township approximately $1,000 for us to institute this. We have a couple of key features that I think are very important from a fire department perspective, from a bylaw perspective, and from an emergency management perspective. From a fire department perspective, this is integrated with our Who's Responding app. We will be able to see on our maps, on our devices, before we even respond to the call, where the fire should be located, whether it's on the actual property of the person who is registered to, stuff like that. Okay. We have an acknowledgement of the bylaw, which at this point in time, we don't ever really get. We're relying on good faith that people are going and reading the rules. And I can text people the rules, or I can email them the rules, but with this system, they actually have to click, I agree. So they're taking some responsibility on themselves. From a bylaw perspective, that I agree is an acknowledgement and effectively a policing tool, so that if our bylaw officer ever has to lay charges for somebody who has completely ignored the rules and done a burn at a time when they're not allowed to, there's no excuse. You've had your first warning. You agreed to this. Even if it's a renter, whoever is conducting the short-term rental, long-term rental, whatever it may be, the renter will be responsible, and the listing of the person who's renting the property, they can say, hey, go here, register for your burn permit if you want to have a campfire. They then get a copy of it, and they know that it's done. So from that standpoint, there's an exchange of liability. Like, we're not worried about somebody saying, you know, I had no idea anymore, okay? So from a bylaw perspective, it's much more enforceable. Now, during the first year of implementation, I would expect that we're going to have a certain amount of leeway. You know what I mean? Like, we're not going to be going out and saying, hey, you know, you forgot to do this, or you, like, no, we got to allow everybody to get used to this. Because it is a change, and it's a big change for a township that has never really had a permitting process besides a single one-day burn permit that people call me for randomly. And I may not even be here, and I'm trying to check the fire ratings, and I'm relying on people, what's the weather like, what's the wind like, okay, sure, we can do this. But then I have to then, you know, make an adjustment halfway through the day, so to speak, and if I have eight different burn permits, I have to call eight different people to say, okay, we're going to shut it down because the wind has gotten too high. Okay? From a fire department perspective, everybody who has a 24-hour burn permit, if that fire danger rating changes, even if it's just from a wind perspective or the MNR has come down and said they want to institute an RFZ because it's too dry, with a click of a button, I can then send a message out to those people to say, burn permit canceled, please extinguish anything that you have going due to blah, blah, blah reason. Okay? From an emergency planning perspective, because it's mandatory, I know they say strongly suggested, but it's actually mandatory. You can't click past it without providing at least one form of communication, be it a cell phone, an email address, or a home phone. Because you have that information, if we ever had a wildfire, or an ice storm, or a reason to evacuate a certain segment of the township, or even just send out an emergency alert to residents in our township, we now have a direct form of communication. We can say that there is a wildfire that is affecting an area of Broadbent Road. Please evacuate the area without using these corridors. You know what I mean? So that allows us a much more effective and direct line of communication for our residents. We can tell them where our evacuation points are. We can say where our where there's a community building that they can respond to if they need to get warmed up, or if they, you know, need a dry place to wait out the storm, or whatever. Any declaration of emergency, we're going to have certain communications that are going to be difficult to get out depending on what the emergency is. This way, we have a direct line. We're not relying on somebody going who, without power, and again, without internet, relying on them going on the internet to look up what the township website says about here, come here. You know what I mean? So from that standpoint, it's a lot more effective. Any questions at this point in time?
I guess the one is, and you sort of alluded to it already, up until this point, we haven't had this. So what problems have we encountered that you're aware of that we need this now?
What, so this is just us updating. I know that myself, technically I live just over the border, and I'm in Whitestone, and I've had this for the last, I'm going to say, what, 5-6 years. I've always found it to be very effective, even before I assumed the role of fire chief in this township. Just to be able to get a text message or an email saying fire danger rating has changed from moderate to high, it's simple and effective information when I'm otherwise occupied in my day and I'm not going to bother going to Instagram or a website, or I'm not driving down the road noticing a sign that I've seen a million times and whether that arrow has changed by 6 inches or not. So it just makes the communication part of being a fire department as well as emergency management that much easier. So we had an RFZ last year as well, in which we had a few incidences in which we had people who decided it didn't apply to them, or were confused as to what exactly was limited and what is not limited with an RFZ. And so by having the information easily distributed, it removes a lot of the confusion and just becomes a more effective process. We become more, in my opinion, it will make us a much more effective department in terms of our fire prevention and emergency preparedness. So, I have done an edit to the burn bylaw for what I would, at this point in time, suggest. It's just a draft, but you can see, we can go through the changes if you'd like to see what the changes are. Primarily, I've defined what debris fire is. It refers to any open air fire used to dispose of branches, leaves, unpainted or untreated wood in the course of property maintenance. We never condone or support the burning of treated or painted wood because it is a toxic thing, so it just spells it out. The permit, just changing the definition of permit to include means of permit issued by a township in accordance with this bylaw. Permits are electronically issued and tracked and can be seasonal or debris 24 hours in duration. 4.1A, being a certain seasonal permit shall be required for all open air burning, including campfires, cooking fires, incinerators, open air, and debris fire. Again, it's not a, there's no, it's not like you're going to be denied when the person goes on and applies for a seasonal permit. There's no, you can't have that. Everybody can have a seasonal permit provided they follow the bylaw, which is 1.5 years and have an extinguishing agent and so forth. Yes?
So you said everybody can have a permit?
Yes.
So does everybody have to have a permit?
Everybody will need to have a permit, as it says right there.
For a campfire, for cooking, for warmth? You need to have a permit.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's from April to October.
Yes. The reason being is that right now, everybody can have a fire when it comes to a campfire and so forth, and they're expected to adhere to the bylaw without us having any indication that they've actually read it. and they can have a fire without any form of communicating with them when that fire danger rating changes. So you can have a campfire on April 2nd, and there's no issue with it if the fire danger rating is at moderate. But if on April 3rd, that fire danger rating has been determined by the MNR to now be high, and you haven't left your house, you are now, you can go out and start a campfire and, you know, essentially be at increased risk of starting a wildfire, all reasons why they changed the fire danger rating, without any real fault of your own, because you haven't left the house, you haven't driven by a sign or checked the internet.
So April 1st or whatever, April 2nd, I have my campfire, whatever,
yes.
Cooking fire, whatever, and some of my neighbor phones in and says that there's smoke coming up over there, so you come out, or you find out that I don't have a permit, and you're saying that I have to have a permit for that.
Mm-hmm.
So what am I fined?
Well,
what's a fine?
Especially this year, I mean, there's going to be some leniency, especially this year. You know, the first year, our bylaw agent will have an information package that he'll distribute anytime he gets called out to a scenario such as that. The fire department will have an information package that we'll distribute, and we'll show up and we'll say, Ms. Zulak, are you aware that we have this new process? We are now requiring you to have a seasonal permit and acknowledge the rules of the bylaw. And so,
yeah, so what's the fine?
There'll be no fine this time.
This year?
This year there'll be no fine.
Next year?
But next year, that's actually laid out in the amendments to the bylaw that we had done this past summer. And it involves...
Schedule B, Part 1 of Bylaw 2019-24. Right? This one.
Yep, that's part of it. Let's see. So that fine is up to the discretion of the fire officer who responds. Again, in the interest of leniency, we're not necessarily looking to go ahead and go out and fine people. If somebody is essentially a repeat offender, then we have the ability to charge them per apparatus at the current MTO rate, which I believe is 589 per apparatus at this point in time. And that gets essentially collected by the township and put directly on the tax bill. There's also a schedule which is available in the township's schedule of fees. Go here, which lists having an open fire in contravention of the proposed fire danger rating at $425. Right?
Okay, so you're saying this year there's not going to be any fine?
This year, we were going to put an extra effort into going out, and this is an educational year.
And there will be no cost for the permit?
Yeah. So essentially, this year will be handled in sort of a hybrid form, okay? We will be going out and educating the public that we now have this system in place. The potential fines are X. We're not going to be levying any fines right now. You are used to not having to deal with the permit. And so, you know, we have moved into this system, and this is going to help us because of ABCD, right? But if we have a person who is continuously burning on days where the fire danger rating is high or extreme, then it becomes no different than any other year, where we can show up and levy a fine according to the fee schedule that was approved in 2018. And it gets treated like any other.
Okay, just one more question.
No, by all means.
Just one.
And there is no cost to the permit.
So you're saying there's no cost to the permit.
Correct.
And they're not going to charge anything for the fine this year. So next year, is there going to be a cost? And are you going to charge? Like, just for an example, I can't compare us to Perry Sound because we're not the same as Perry Sound. Perry Sound, when they first put it in, it was no cost. Then it was $20 for the burn permit. Now it's $50 for the burn permit. Yes, I phoned yesterday and found out.
Okay.
So are we going to be following that same step?
I have no interest in charging somebody for a burn permit. I think it increases the potential for a person to be a abide by the rules. I mean, I don't want any or give anybody a reason to hide. I don't want to give anybody a reason to try to usurp the rules. I think the benefits of us having that direct line of communication far outweighs whatever nominal fee we can justifiably charge for a burn permit. I don't see the value in that. So this is not a money-making. I have never grown up with the philosophy, and in all my years of growing up with the fire department, I have never had the philosophy that a fire department needs to be a money-making vehicle. Okay? So I don't see the value in adding a fee for that permit. What we are looking for is compliance. Like I said.
Restrictions. Compliance. Bureaucracy.
Well, it's for, this is in the name of public safety, in my opinion, and this is in the name public safety and just ease of communication for in an instant where we really require information to get sent to you in an effective way. I'm not interested in more government or more governance. These rules are already in place. But we're not changing the rules. We're simply changing the vehicle. So I'm not...
Well, you are changing the rules, because right there you're saying a seasonal permit shall be required for all open air burning.
And that is just a matter of making sure that people have... It is still incumbent upon the ZULACs to read the bylaw.
It's still incumbent on the ZULACs. If a fire happens, I'm still responsible. If a fire is on my property, I'm still responsible.
Absolutely. And the fire department is still going to respond. The fire department is still responsible for responding and helping you out. The fact that you have had to enter your information into a website, even if it's with the help of a librarian, using a community computer or not, doesn't change the fact that you can still have that campfire. It doesn't change the fact that last summer I could have shown up and levied a fine if the ZULACs weren't following the rules of the bylaw. The bylaws are already posted.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not changing the rules from that standpoint. What we're doing is creating an effective communication vehicle that sort of brings McKellar and the township up to 2024.
Other council, any questions? Councilor Kagan?
Yes.
So how many burning permits do you currently issue per year?
This summer I probably issued, I'm going to say about 24 24-hour permits.
Okay.
Sometimes I had to cancel. Sometimes I had to because of the change in the weather or the institution of the RFZ, or, like I said, the wind just picked up too much and became unsafe. I had to call and try to get contact. But in one instance, I had to actually drive out to the person's property and say, hey, just, you know, I didn't receive a response from you.
So it's relatively effective what's in place now, and if you had additional ways of being able to communicate with those who had the permit using different means that maybe we're not incorporating currently, that we can improve on a system that already exists.
We are essentially improving on a system that already exists. Yes, we right now people text me saying I live at such and such an address, I'd like a burn permit for such and such a day. If it's not the day of, then I say okay, thank you very much. Here are the bylaw and here's the secondary sheet that I gave you, which is the cheat sheet, just a quick reference guide. Say, please make sure that you follow the rules laid out in the bylaw and the cheat sheet. And I said I can only issue the burn permit on the day of in a few cases, so please text me back the morning of, just in case anything has changed. And then I also remind people that it is incumbent upon them to stay aware of the changes in fire danger rating and so forth. Okay?
Okay, so
sorry, go ahead.
Okay. So McKellar Township's a relatively small municipality, 100 square miles, approximately 1,000 to 3,000 residents. I'm just wondering how difficult communication can be in such a small municipality you know, size-wise and population-wise. And, you know, it's interesting that you mentioned that first year you're going to be going around with an information package and handing out these information packages to the individuals, like if you arrive and they don't have a permit. So, you know, I look at some of the other of the communication and education efforts that the fire department has been involved with without, you know, this new fandangled system set up here. And McKellar's Home Safe Home Program, since its introduction, has been a recognized success. Mm-hmm. Education, communication. And our program has handed out materials and advice during every market at which the firefighters participated. As well, there's the introduction of a social media Instagram account at McKellar Fire has been well received and slowly but surely gaining followers. So there are communication tools that we currently have. There's communication tools that we aren't currently utilizing. Previously, there was a SMS feed on our municipal website where people could provide their contact information and receive any up-to-date information from the township when the township felt it was necessary to send out this communication. So we have the tools and we have the ability to communicate currently without expecting everyone in the municipality who intends to have a recreational campfire to register for a bureaucratic sales item that the company is willing, very willingly, to package and promote nicely so that we purchase this product. We have tools. And, you know, I think that if...
Is that SMS thing still valid?
I'm not sure.
I've never even heard of it.
We've engaged in a new website, and we are soon going to review the current website. And I know that the company that oversees the township's website had many packages available. So we just, you know, have the basic package with no... there are additional add-ons that you can purchase.
That the township can purchase.
Can purchase through the...
The township.
Pardon me?
That the township would purchase to add on to our website.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
All right. Sorry, I'm just trying to make sure
yes.
I understand. Because I'm not aware of the system. And so how would that person register for that to get that SMS text message?
So previously on the township website, there was an icon or, you know, a place where you could click on. I'm interested in receiving all information feeds from the township.
So you had to go, okay, so they had to go onto the township website and they had to register their telephone number and then they would get a text message. And this, to me, this is not much different.
It's the big difference is expecting everybody to forfeit their right to have a campfire or a recreation fire if they do not want to get one of these digital permits to give them permission to do something which they could previously do without permission, without a permit. They have to register to be able to sit around and have a recreational campfire. And, you know, and the interesting thing is when I looked at some of these other municipalities, their permit season runs from January 1 to December 31. So right now you would have to have that permit. And it's even on one of the township websites. It said right now their fire danger rating is moderate, so you were required to have this permit to go out. And it's very interesting. I seen one gentleman who had posted a picture of his fire pit he had made out of snow, and you know, beautiful little fire inside this fire pit. He would have to have a fire permit the other day to have that little camp, that
for
little
that
family
township.
Campfire
for that township.
In this township, if we had this in place.
No, because right now our fire season is only April 1st to October 31st.
All fire season in Ontario is April 1st to October 31st. And this is what is interesting is if when you look at the provincial legislation, the regulation regarding open air fires, that, you know, there's the guidelines in the regulation mitigate the risk of fires getting out of control. So there's no change here. You're expecting everyone, that anyone that signs on for this permit, and even those who don't, that they are going to abide by the the tried and proven guidelines of what mitigates risk of having open air fires. So,
such as the clearance from combustibles, the clearance from buildings if you have a fire of a certain size, such as,
you know, and this is where we need to, you know, I see that you've provided a copy of the, you know, with some edits in the current bylaw. I think this conversation needs to start with reviewing our current bylaw, which has totally become difficult to read. Before, if you look at the 2005 version, it was very clean, it was very easy to understand, and it was based on regulation 20796, which is a provincially accepted guidelines for having outdoor fires which mitigate risk, and it sets out all of the, you know, criteria which our current bylaws have been based on from the first, you know, the first bylaw, that the open air fire bylaw that the township put in place. I'm saying that we can do have mitigate risk with an increased education program without expecting every citizen who's going to have a small recreation fire to sign away their, by signing on to this program, people are signing away their current right to have a open air fire.
I think you're without really permission. Selling it in a negative.
No, this is exactly what this is about.
Probably
is.
Purposely. I'm my understanding of what you're asking me is maybe a little bit fuzzy here. We're not trying to increase the bureaucracy.
That's what's happening. This is what it's all about.
Well, that can be said about a lot of things, unfortunately. But I'm not trying to increase the bureaucracy. As of right now, the expectation for every single resident is to be familiar with the current open air burning bylaw and the regulations and so forth that this township follows. Okay? What we're doing this but we're doing that on a hope and a prayer, okay? That somebody is actually going to take their personal time to go and do that. I'm not interested in limiting somebody's ability to have a campfire beyond what the MNR regulations are. I mean, when the MNR comes down and says we are going to change you from moderate to high, and you can now no longer have any kind of a campfire, that's the government saying this. Like, that's them making their recommendation, and we are obliged to, abide by that. For the safety of our township.
But the thing
I'm not interested in either telling people to ignore that or taking their rights away from being able to have that campfire. The rules are going to be the same. All we're doing is providing an effective form of communication, because right now we have absolutely no guarantee that anybody has gone out and read the bylaw. We don't. I can hand out pamphlets till I'm blue in the face at the market, which we currently do. I can post on Instagram, but I can't make people follow me in order to get the updates. I can suggest to people that you should check the township website, or that you should Google it, or take a drive by and look at the sign on the side of the road. I can suggest all those things. By the way, I don't know what happened, but apparently our sign with the fire danger reading has been stolen at Minerva Park. I have no control over a lot of these things. Okay? Now, with this system in place, what we're doing is effectively, and it's hard to even say ensure, because I'm sure you can go through and just click, 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 and skip through it, potentially. But you still are responsible for putting an electronic signature on there, which then says, I have read this. What we're doing is trying to ensure that for the benefit of everybody, there is a better knowledge base as to what you can and cannot do. And again, those rules are not changing one lick. What you can and cannot do in terms of your open air burning and your campfires. We're just asking for, essentially, responsibility. If I never, in my career as a fire chief here, levy a fine, I'll die a happy man. I couldn't care less about levying a fine to a resident of this township, unless I am faced with no other choice but to enforce a bylaw in a manner that is financially effective. It gets the point across, because that's really all a fine is. It's like, hey, we're going to make this hurt somehow, you know, and that's financially, and it's in order to get the point across that you did something wrong. I'm not changing any of that. I'm not going to go fine happy. I have no interest in having a permit fee or a fine levied against somebody, as long as they follow the rules that they already should be following.
Yeah, but that's where if you want to increase the communication and education, which looking through previous bylaw enforcement reports in 2022, there was five open fire related occurrences that were investigated. So, and it was noted several times in the bylaw enforcement reports that they would undertake, even through not just social media, but through media, to go over what the expectations are. And, you know, it's that's just good practice. You know, so if you can continue on with that,
And when a person drives up from Toronto, they're still going to hear on the radio, they're going to hear, oh, this is what the fire danger ratings are because it's advertised on the Moose FM. Before they left, they're going to see on CTV that the fire danger ratings are such and such because it's on... Gord out of Carling, the chief of Carling, disseminates that to all the media outlets. When they drive into the township, they're still going to pass by the signs, which have the danger rating line. When they surf on the Instagram, they're still going to have the township Instagram site, or excuse me, the fire department Instagram site, that will have the most up-to-date fire danger rating. Everything that we're doing is trying to disseminate the information as effectively as possible. Yet, in all of that, I have no way of ensuring or encouraging, other than please do, people to have a knowledge of what the bylaws and rules are. Okay, so at least by doing this, it's an acknowledgement that there is a process, there is a regulation in place, and that's like I said, the massive benefit associated with this is the accountability that it provides for the bylaw person to be an effective person in policing the township's bylaw. The massive benefit is from the emergency planning perspective, our ability to communicate with our citizens at a time when we don't have time to mess around or to say, hey, go to Instagram. It just provides us with a little bit more of an effective vehicle. Everything will be set automatically. I have no interest in limiting somebody's abilities or increasing bureaucracy. I don't look at it like this is an increase in bureaucracy. What this is, in my opinion, is just an increase in accountability.
Do we know with the checkbox, I agree or I have read, does that hold up in a situation where there's some disagreement? The person argues, I haven't agreed? I mean, do you know of any court cases? I'm just wondering.
I am not aware of any court cases that have to do with that. Those check boxes are entirely customizable. I'll be able to put on there all of the different points, which, like, as I handed out the cheat sheet, essentially it will be a cheat sheet version of this is, you know, you must have somebody over the age of 16 present at the house if you're going to have any kind of open air. If you're going to be doing a debris burn, it has to be more than 10 feet from any. 10 meters from any structure and other burnable products. So there's no, I'm not aware of any cases or whatever, but the idea behind this is accountability and to make this as user-friendly as possible and to have an effective messaging system that's out there. I'm sorry if this came across as an increase in bureaucracy or as a limitation of people's rights, because this certainly has never been the intention to limit somebody's ability to do something. We're still going to have the same great township, we're still going to have the same great rules, people are going to be able to come up and enjoy the same great campfires that they did last year for many years to come. That's never been an intention.
And they can continue to do that without a level of bureaucracy and digital enrollment, and they can continue to do that with their families without saying, oh, shoot, we didn't get our permit. Oh, my gosh, you know, like, you know, and, oh, do we need to, because I read here in the 8 points, there was a section, I don't know if this is applicable to what you're thinking, that not only do you need the seasonal permit that you had to register your intent to burn as well, to make it effective so that you would see in the mapping who is currently burning.
Yeah, and so that's one of the differences that I was pointing out, is that there will be no, you don't have to call in and say, hey, I'm burning today. There's no registration or anything. There will be, as I tried to portray before we started the video, that there will be some differences. When you go on, whether it's January 1st or April 2nd, and you apply and you register for your seasonal permit, that's it. There's no, I'm calling the camp, I have a campfire today. That's not going to be part of our platform. When it comes time for you to do a debris fire, so in other words, you've collected this large fire pile, you can go 2 meters by 2 meters, and you have to be 10 meters away from something, that will require that 24-hour permit. That's no different. That, technically, you need to call me, and I need to text you and issue you a burn permit for that day. And again, it can be canceled at any moment based on my judgment of what the fire danger rating is or what the weather conditions are. Same old, same rights, same rules, just different way of cataloging and collecting the information. That's all it is. It's not limiting me.
Other council, any particular points?
Yes, sir.
When we got your package, I can't quite remember exactly when we got it. I went online to their website to look, just look around and see what it was. My observation would be that it would take probably about 5 minutes to complete the registration, and basically me not having to look anything up because, I mean, I know all the information, my name, my phone number, etc. Pretty simple. And my observation, again, would be that asking people to spend 5 minutes in a year to do a process that would dramatically improve our communication, especially when conditions change. I know from observation last summer that during periods when the rating was either high or extreme, that I could see people on the lake that were having a fire despite the fact that they weren't permitted to, right? And large enough that I could see it. It's really obvious on the lake because you see the reflection and everything else. And at the moment, I think people make that case that they didn't see the sign or they don't know about it, right? So my point of view on this all is that this is a simple method of doing it, especially if conditions change. I live on a wide open piece of property that has lots of wind. I always tell people it's the windiest place I've ever lived. And I had some fires last year between campfire and a debris fire, I guess, but that, you know, I shut down simply because the wind got out of control. And frankly, it scared me. So I just shut it down, put it out with a hose. Right? But and again, I don't know how anybody would know that. I don't know how you would know that it was windy at my place or not. I mean, I don't think that's possible. But I think 5 minutes a year seems to be a good investment in security and communication for letting people know about this.
I'm not necessarily looking at this from the standpoint of the individual property owner who is registering for the permit, especially and particularly in the case of the 24-hour burn permit that will be issued. I'm not necessarily concerned or, looking at the benefit to that particular person. I'm looking at the benefit to that person's neighbors, because that person's neighbors are going to be the first ones that are affected if the fire danger rating changes and that person creates a wildfire. That person's neighbors are going to be the very first ones that are going to lose their house or lose their bush or lose their boat or whatever if there is burning that shouldn't be happening when somebody is burning. So all we're doing is, it's like a neighborly awareness program, call it. Like, you're just trying to make everybody accountable for, and not that they're not already accountable, but you're just trying to, you know, make sure that everybody has an understanding of what the rules are so that nobody can really say, oh, I didn't know, right?
Well, the rules, it doesn't matter what they say, you know, like there are guidelines and they're useful. But as the situation that was just depicted by our counselor, the person may have their permit, and you know, it's all within the guidelines. They're having this fire. They've never received a notification that it's not unsafe right now, and that particular place might be a very unsafe place to have a fire. So it all always comes down to that person's judgment of the risk assessment of any situation. So, you know what?
Human nature plays a big part in this, and human understanding and conscience plays a big part in this. But I think what was misinterpreted, perhaps, by Councillor Ryland's statement there is that he was noticing fires around the lake at a time when it had changed to a high or extreme rating. And so by having people registered for this, that person who has come up to the cottage for the week off and wants to unplug and not go into town and just, you know, they're not going to drive by any signs and they don't have internet access or whatever, but they have their cell phone, you know, that person who may not have been privy to that change in fire danger rating got a text from me this morning. And that text said, by the way, we're now at high, you can no longer have a campfire. And it's not me making that rule, that's the MNR, but it's just that ease of communication. You know, that person who Councillor Ryland saw having that fire when they shouldn't have has now had some of the responsibility taken off their shoulders and a service added to them by the township to say, here is the information, you no longer have to seek it, it is coming to you.
And you will still have those people that have this permit who have received that notification who will still have their campfire because this is their week up on holidays and they're going to have that campfire.
And that's why we have a bottom officer.
Yeah. So I think we can deal with this situation with the current tools that we have. We have a new bylaw enforcement officer. And as noted previously, of the very small amount of open fire burning occurrences reported in the bylaw enforcement reports, that our new bylaw enforcement officer can do a great job through education and communication. The tools we have here with the township, with social media and different platforms that are available to us, I think that we can do an excellent job and make this continue to have this great community that we're living in without this additional sales product that's being pushed our way to take away and create a new bureaucracy for our residents. I think we can accomplish what we are aiming for without this, sales pitch that's being pushed our way. And I think really...
I respect your opinion on that.
Okay, and I think we're going in circles at this stage.
Yeah.
But those statements have been made. I'm thinking since we represent the public, we should turn this to the public as well.
A full public opinion.
No. I'm just saying, even at this particular meeting.
Sure.
As we said before, even in the notice for this meeting, we wouldn't be making any decisions one way or the other.
Absolutely.
And we've just received your revised ideas for the bylaw, and so we'll have to go through that as well.
Sure.
And,
do you want me to continue with that?
We would look at that and look at the other bylaws that were in place 2019 and also 2018 and the changes that were made from one year to the next. And also the amendment that was made just recently, 2023, I think. But I wanted to hear from the public even today. We'll have a future committee of the whole, I think, a regular evening meeting so people can join in. But if there's anybody online now or wishes to comment, or I see we have the press online, so I don't know whether they have any questions or...
I'd be interested in commenting.
Sure. Just need your name and the microphone there.
My name is Rob Olson from Beaver Creek Organic Farm. I understand the application of something like this, but also I think that people have to understand that every time you add a certain things into a system, you're adding more and more bureaucracy to it. I understand what Mike is saying. And I do understand what Nick is saying. But the problem arises in looking at a township of people and thinking that they're children. Okay, we're all adults. We can all assess. We understand what's available to us in farm information. We see what's out there. we understand when we can look at our leaves and see how dry they are. And any regular, normal, intelligent person can decide whether they should have a campfire or not. As far as open burning and farms are concerned, that's a different issue. But once you implement a system like this, there's no getting out. And like the fire chief says, it's not going to cost you nothing today. What's it going to cost you tomorrow? And every time I hear that, I think of history. And everything is going to be, it's okay today, wait till tomorrow. And there's no guarantees that tomorrow isn't going to infringe even further upon your rights and freedoms. These are basic rights and freedoms. I object to the idea of all of the cottagers and ratepayers to have to be subjected to filing or typing in some information which would allow them to enjoy a campfire with their family. Because it's like some people say, it's like, what if you forget? What if you don't do it? What, you know, and now you're in a bit of a panic saying, I should have done this or I should have done that. Oh, I forgot. That type of thing. We're all adults here. It's all taxpayers. When you start to talk about it isn't going to cost you anything because the township is going to pay for it. Where did that money come from? So you can't say it's not going to cost the cottagers or the residents anything. The township has to pay for it, and that's paid for by the taxes. So it is going to cost everybody. So this year it's nothing. This year it's 1,000, next year it's 2,000. How much is it going to cost in 3 or 5 years for this company to continue to implement and upgrade? And by the way, there's another add-on. I've run into situations in software where they say, it's going to cost you $800 for software. And then a year down the road, it's like, your software is now going to cost you $200 extra. And he's like, why? And he said, well, it's to continue to upgrade and to keep it maintained. And I said, well, I'm not interested in doing that. And they say, fine, and you're gone. And so no longer can you utilize your existing software. So there's a lot of difficulties here, I think, in the basic situation where residents and cottagers, this is, although it's very small, is the beginning of the attack of rights and freedoms being taken away. Now, the second part of the situation is what he alluded to, is a monitoring system. So this system of monitoring into the big climate change agenda comes down the pipe to say, well, how many fires were in McKellar, and where were they, and who lit them? So it's like, so now we get into a situation maybe 1 year, 2 year, 3 year down the road, where we say, guess what, all of these campfires and open air burning contribute to X amount of tons of carbon in the atmosphere. So next year, if you want a campfire, it's going to cost you $6.50. And that's where the system starts to, once you get in that system, you can't get out. And so, you know, you're going to end up paying this carbon tax at some point in time. I can smell it, just like the fire. And you're going to end up paying for this. And it's like, maybe, maybe not. But the sign is there. And this is how it starts. And you, once you're in, you can't get back out. So it's important to look at something where at some point in time, and it may be some of you or none of you may be counselors at that point in time, but somebody, you know, 10, 20, 30 years down the road is into the system, and now we're all subject to, you know, being taxed on this and that, and it's just another one of those things. So it's better off, I think, the township of McKellar has done an excellent job of notifying and monitoring the fire situation. And last year, although there may have been incidents, and I'll bet there was, it's sort of the same situation where no matter what you do, there's always going to be somebody. It's like illegal guns. It's the same sort of situation. You can't punish all gun owners for a few people that have illegal guns. It's the same situation here. So I don't know what to say about this. This came across my desk, and red flags went up. And it's like, and just in talking to people, they're going, what? And I think you folks should nip this in the bud. And I understand what you're saying, Nick. But you've got to understand that this is an assault on your right and freedom to enjoy a campfire with your family. And it sounds good to start with. But have you ever seen anything in your lifetime where it's not going to cost you anything now, but next year it gets a little more and a little more and a little more? You got to understand, whatever came down in price. And now with the Liberal government taxing the tax, here's another opportunity to monitor your carbon production and charge you accordingly. Because I see this down the road as a situation where the government is going to say, if you want to have a campfire, it's going to cost you $3. And if you look at that program, what are your options? PayPal or whatever. Now, the common point here is it's like, well, everybody's going to have a cell phone and everybody can have access to this system. If that's the case, then everybody also has access to McKellar's website and can say, I wonder what the fire rating is. I'll just like have a look at it. Oh, it's high. Better not have a campfire. End of story. It's that simple. I don't have to go fill out stuff. I just have to Township of McKellar. I can put it on my favorites or whatever and look it up right away. And I'm sure that's what most people do. So I'm urging all of you to consider this closely and think about, as Mayor Moore said, you're representing all of the people in the township, and everything that you do either helps us or gives us more bureaucracy or puts us in a situation that may cost us more. So I thank you for allowing me to speak.
Oh, appreciate you coming out.
And I appreciate your time.
As you say, this is not the end of the discussion. Certainly at a future regular meeting, we'll have a committee of the whole and people can weigh in, and you're certainly welcome back. And,
it's something to consider.
Yeah.
You know, it's another side of out there.
Appreciate that, yeah.
Thank you.
Press is still not speaking, okay. Is there anything else, Rob? I guess
just no, that's it. As I said, the intention of this is never to infringe on anybody's anything. It's simply to provide a platform for effective communication and fire prevention materials and so forth like that, and emergency planning. So by all means, very well put by Mr. Olson, and we will discuss this further.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And we appreciate, as I say, the changes you've sent for the bylaw, and we'll be looking at the bylaw itself, looking at previous versions and the
version. So absolutely.
And that'll be at a future.
Yeah. Anytime.
Great.
So I think the fire chief can go and enjoy his vacations, and there's nothing that'll be happening real soon, or?
Well, it's going to take some time to go through these, of course, and the changes. And I don't think it'll be the next meeting or anything. So.
No, that's fine.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Resolution 24-062, moved by Councilman Zulak, second by Councilor Kekkonen, be resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby received report FD-2024-03, burn permits from Fire Chief Robert Morrison for information purposes. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. We have a section on the open session, question comment period related to items on the agenda prior to the confirming bylaw. So if anybody in the public wishes to speak about any other item on the agenda, although this is the only item, you're free to do so. Okay, hearing none, have resolution 24-063, moved by Councillor Haskins, second by Councillor Ryland, be it resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby give bylaw number 2024-13, being a bylaw to confirm the proceedings of Council first and second reading, further read a third time and passed an open Council this 30th day of January 2024. Call the question, all those in favor? None opposed? Carried. And resolution 24-064, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Kekkonen. Be resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar adjourned this meeting at 4:45 p.m. to meet again on February the 6th, 2024, at the call of the mayor. Call the question, all those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Meeting is now adjourned.